We're up, you're all hanging in there. It's a longer lesson, this one, but it's good stuff. So we'll continue with the list of practices. There's about six more. So next is being conscious of your consciousness. And this is, again, very similar to being aware of awareness. So just you can ask right now, am I conscious? Which sounds like a strange question to ask. But to ask that question and to answer it, there has to be a looking and a seeing that consciousness is present. Right now, you are not unconscious, hopefully. You're conscious, and no attention at all usually goes to that consciousness. We recognize that we're conscious, and then attention goes right to what we're conscious of, to our thoughts, to our emotions and phenomena. So just noticing the consciousness is present, and then sitting with that, just being that with that consciousness, noticing it's present. Very simple noticing, sensing, recognition. Again, not thinking about it. And when attention gets distracted, we're simply bringing it back to the consciousness itself. So the practice is to be conscious of the consciousness and not what we're conscious of, thoughts, etc. Very simple thing. Again, very similar to aware of awareness. Next is noticing the existence, the sense of existence. We all know, very similar to I am, that we exist. This is the one thing. Well, somebody once did try to argue with me that they don't exist, which was an interesting conversation that we had. But hopefully, you're all clear that you know that you exist. What you exist as is, it doesn't matter for the sake of this practice. We're not trying to find out what we are here. We're just putting attention on that which just is, that isn't changing. You exist. Somehow you're here, and that's enough for the sake of this practice. And again, just to notice when attention wanders to thoughts, to phenomena, and we get distracted when we're daydreaming, fantasizing, whatever is going on in the mind, just to bring attention back to that. Okay. Next one is being the contextual field. So all these phenomena that we can see inside our thoughts, our emotions, the phenomena, the gross phenomena, objects outside, this table, laptop, my body, sofa, all of these things, subtle and gross objects, are the content, what's happening inside the field. But there is a field, a contextual field, in which all this content is arising. So the objects are the content of the field, and the field itself is the context in which they're happening. So this room, all these things in the room that you're sitting in, the room itself, your body, are all appearing inside some invisible, intangible field, some space, which you can't see with your eyes, but we can know it's here. The space has to be here first before anything can appear in it, even your body, even the thoughts. So just a recognition, putting attention on there's something here which is invisible, intangible. We don't know what size or shape it is. How big is the space in which the room is sitting in? You can't really say in that way. It's not really definable. It doesn't have any characteristics. And then from time to time, attention is going to wander to what's happening with the content, our thoughts, our chain, our becomingness, our emotions, our experience, states that come and go in meditation. Also, just to notice when attention's gone to the content, the thingness, the objects, bring it back to the contextual field. And just noticing that field is the simple, simple practice, a recognition that it's here. So that's the simplicity of the practice. Next is the ever-present state of here. So whatever occurs to your body, to your mind, it's happening with this background sense of here-ness, that's always present. When you think a thought, you think it here. You cannot think a thought over there. It's just not possible. It comes with this here-ness. You can't feel an emotion over there. It's always happening here. And if I could somehow Right now I feel I'm here. If I could somehow come to where you are, all the way along that journey, and when I arrived where you are, it wouldn't feel like there, it would feel like here. Every step along that way, that journey. Even if I could somehow go to the other side of the universe, if you could go to the other side of the universe, when you got there, you would say, I'm here. So it's just noticing that there is this sense of here, which is ever present. Everything that we do is happening inside this here-ness. Your body, there is nowhere your body can go where it will feel like there and not here. Even if I say, okay, I'm going to another country, when I get there, it will be 5 hours later. But when I do get there, it won't feel like there. It will have this here-ness, this quality. And here, when we say, I am here, what we mean at first is, this is me, this body, this is where I am, where my body's located. And as you're doing this practice, recognizing that here-ness subtly, it's going to become clearer and clearer that actually the here-ness, this diffuse, vast here-ness, my body's moving around inside, is what I am, first and foremost. So just to notice that here-ness is enough. Epiphanies and revelations will come much more effortlessly, faster and faster, just by noticing what's real. There's this here-ness you cannot get outside of. There is nowhere you can go where it feels like there. So has everyone got this little cloud of here-ness over their head that follows them around? Or is the here-ness something much more vast than that? You know, where does your sense of here end and mine start? Is there such a thing? Is it possible? Just to recognize the here-ness, and then to notice when attention wanders to what's happening inside the here-ness, bringing it back. The ever-present, the stateless state of now is very similar to here. And again, just to recognize everything is happening inside this moment, this now moment that's here is not changing. Where this moment is, you can't really say. It's intangible, it's diffuse, you can't see it. It's always now in this. You cannot think a thought yesterday or feel an emotion tomorrow. It's just not possible. Always when you think or feel or experience, it's happening now. Even if we think about something that happened 10 years ago, we're doing it now. That thought is going through my brain now. If I fast forward and anticipate 20 years in the future, it still feels like I'm anticipating now. And when I actually arrive at 20 years in the future, it will be experienced as with this nowness, this present moment. And we can notice the nowness. This practice is simply to notice the nowness. It is not to be someone in the now. It's hugely fashionable to be in the now. And I'm not talking about that here. It's to notice the intangible moment that's here before anything can arise in it. This moment is unending. If we ask the question now, when does this moment end? And we simply wait for this moment to end. When does this moment stop and the next one start? And we can come to see that it isn't a now, like on the clock, that now is a continuous and alwaysness that's just constantly present. There is no experience you can ever have that isn't happening now. You cannot experience something yesterday. There's always this nowness that's present in the background of all of our experiences, and it's something much bigger than we've perhaps realized. There is also the now and later on the clock, but this now is much more fundamental than that clock time. It's ever present. So it's just to notice that nowness, and then to notice when attention's wandered to something arising in that now, some thoughts, some emotions, some sensation in your body, something going on, bringing it back to the now. As you bring your attention back gently each time, it's going to become a habit at some point. It's going to get easier and easier, less and less effort. And then at some point, without you realizing when it happens, It will become automatic and effortless. And this is the end point of all meditation, where meditation is heading to, where there is no sense of any effort being made and there's no choice where to put attention. It's just kind of open and noticing what's real all the time without any effort needed to sustain that. How we get to that is just to bring attention back to what's real enough times, gently, no berating ourselves when attention wanders. It's not needed. And there's no point in trying to stop attention wandering either. So last two, recognizing the knower is, right now you know what your mind is thinking or not. You know what these words mean. You know how your body feels, whether it's hot or cold. You know whether there's a sense of understanding or not, or confusion. Everything that happens to your body and mind, you instantaneously know. If you were to, if a dog started barking outside, you would immediately know what that sound is. It's not a thinking process. If you were to accidentally touch something hot with your hand, you wouldn't have to think, is this hot? It would be instantaneous knowing this is hot, and then it'd be removing your hand. You don't have to go through the thought process. Is this hot? Yes, it is. Should I take my hand away? Yes, I should. It's just instantaneous before time. Mind thought happens later. So the knowingness, there's something about you that's knowing. And just recognizing the knower that is here even before thought, even knows thought. It knows what your mind is thinking. It knows how your body's feeling instantaneously. It knows the meaning of these words. You're not having to sit and think about everyone and put them together inside you as a sentence. So just to recognize the knowingness, something is just constantly and effortlessly recognizing what's going on. And the knower is just putting attention on itself, starting to recognize where that knower is, what it is. We don't really need to define for the purpose of the practice. Just to recognize there's something about me that just knows, that's before thought. Thought is later than the knower, fraction of a second later. Very simple thing. And then last but not least is recognizing your own subjectivity. So anything that we can perceive, whether it's a gross thing, a physical, tangible thing, or an inner subtle object, like a thought or an emotion or a sensation, is recognizable as an object, as a thing. It's a phenomena. But that which is recognizing phenomena, when we look for it, you can't find a thing there. There is no thing there that's watching. There is just some subjective sense of self that is diffuse and space-like that we can't actually find in any particular location. So it's just to recognize you are subjective, you are subjectivity itself. You are not an object. You can see objects, you can perceive objects, but you are much more like space, like the space in the room. Just to put attention on that subjective nature, that you're not a thing, and to recognize that you are, can't find yourself when you look, it's diffuse and space-like. And then attention is going to wander from that subjectivity back to some objects, some thoughts. And you can use, so I can see those objects, but the one seeing is not an object. Very simple, simple thing. So that's an awful lot of me talking. So that all of those practices are exactly the same thing, but hopefully as you were listening, one or two or three of them really kind of pulled at your attention. I want to give that a go. And maybe some of them were, I don't really get that. And that's fine. If there's some aversion to one of them, it's simply because that's not the one for you. Your body already knows which one is right for you. So it's fundamental to learn to tune in, to recognize that which is real. And you must ask me for help if you have a challenge with this week. Please do ask me for help. I'm here to help you. You can email, get in touch, and find the job, the homework this week is just to watch this again a couple of times, and any particular one of that list, or two or three or more, that you really fancy having a go, have a flick through the Dissolve the Ego book. There's more detail on each one. And then just give it a go. 20 minutes a day, separate to any other practice that you're doing. More if you want to. And then simply to look for the noumenon when you remember. No big deal. No hard effort involved here at all during the day. Can you recognize when you're standing in the middle of the supermarket that you know there's a sense of knowing what's going on, what your senses are perceiving? There's the knower straight away. Can you hear the silence when you're out in nature? Can you hear the silence? Can you feel the stillness when you're just sitting, you know, and having a conversation? So just a formal seated meditation practice, however you want to sit, eyes open or closed, 20 minutes a day, and then bringing it into your day when you can. Again, you don't have to make anything happen. And you begin to enjoy how it feels to recognize what's real about yourself. And you're going to feel more and more empowered as you get the groove of this, that you can always recognize the real self. You know, this big, difficult thing that's been this legend, this myth that it's impossible to do. You will be doing it straight away. And you'll begin to transcend doubts that it's never going to happen for you, because it will be happening right there. You're hearing the silence, you're listening to the silence. That is the real you. All the understanding and the knowingness and the epiphanies is going to come from that. There's nothing you need to do for that. Okay, so I'll open it up for questions. I would encourage you to ask any question you've got. There is no question at all that is that shouldn't be asked. Every question that anyone asks in this group is going to help everyone else. Every answer is going to help everyone. And this is a really lovely family. There's a family sense that starts to build as we do the course together over the weeks, which is just great. So if you do have a question at all, then you can click on participants at the bottom of the screen, and you can scroll down to the bottom there. There's an option to raise your hand about anything. Let's try to keep the questions about the lessons that we've done rather than satsang in general. Okay, we'll get started with Joanne. We're off and running.
That was quick. I didn't realize I was at the top of the list.
Yep, you were quick and ready to go there.
Can you hear me all right?
I can, yeah. Wonderful.
It must have been sticking in my mind then. It's about what you said about the waking state. I've started noticing the transition between the dreaming state and the waking state. And it's almost like somebody's pressed a button and I've switched channels.
Yes.
What is that about? I don't know what's going on.
It's just probably becoming clearer that something is always watching, even in deep sleep. It may not be our experiences yet that awareness is always present, even watching the body sleep, but that is what's happening. So it starts to, we've had it kind of this agreement in the human consciousness that the waking state is most real, the dream state is slightly less real, and the deep sleep is just kind of nothingness, you know, it's not really not anything at all. As we start to let go of that holding them so tightly, we start to experience that they are all three rotating in front of the real you. Right now, you know you're in the waking state, but you can start to become conscious when you're dreaming, and when you can even notice if you really watch as you fall asleep tonight, you can watch that happen actually. You know, if you really kind of pay attention, and you might even notice some bliss as you actually start to fall asleep, you know, as the mind goes quiet, as the actual sleeping starts. So just probably starting to come out of that fixed agreement that we all have, that the waking state is where it's at and everything else is kind of not so important, you know.
It felt very similar at the time when it happens, when the switch happens, there's no change at all. It's just like I'm in the same stage, but someone's changed the channel.
Exactly, yeah, that is kind of what it's like. The awareness is always aware. It's aware of the body sleeping, or it's aware. And, you know, right now it's looking through the senses, having this, using the body to talk. But later on, it'll be watching the body resting, and there'll be no sense of duality, and we'll call it deep sleep. And it's just like that. Okay, now, and it's waking, dreaming, sleep, waking, dreaming, sleep, waking, dreaming, sleep, and it's just going like that while the body's here. They're just rotating. And you start to step back a bit and notice.
About maybe 8 months or so ago, I woke up, and as I was coming out of the dream, I heard something say, I was dreaming I was a character that I'd been watching on telly called Chuck. I really liked this show, and I'd been binge watching it. And in my dream, I was this character, and I heard something say he'd be better off dead. And I thought to myself, well, I'm not that character, so that can't be about me. And furthermore, I didn't even think that thought. Where did that come from? And then for the rest of those 24 hours, I only had two more thoughts. One was, oh, it's quiet with no thoughts. And the other was, about 12 hours later, I went, still no more thoughts.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel any different. Nothing was, there was no big revelation or change. It was just really quiet.
And so that's how it'll be. The more attention is on what's real, the more the mind just kind of goes quiet as a byproduct. We didn't do anything to make it happen. Just stepping back from our normal state of consciousness in a way, putting attention on something else, you know. So you'll just be doing that consciously now, more and more consciously. You'll know how you did it, and you'll be able to do it more and more with the practice, you know. So
it's going to keep happening, is it? It's going to get more.
Yeah, it's just, for me, there's always just a sense of I'm just here, I'm watching, and right now the waking state is happening to the body. Later on, it'll be sleeping. But I feel the same no matter what's happening with the body. There's just the watching and a, you know, enjoying of the movie, so to speak. Yeah. Every now and again, the channel changes, but, you know, it's all good.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, thank you.
Wonderful, lovely. Okay, Sophie?
Thanks. This question might be a little bit, well, as you said, all questions are okay, are important, but it's to do with, there is a belief that when the attention goes to the thinking or the feeling, that there is something that it needs to do. So it's a need energy that it believes that by going there, it's going to have some value for it, some engagement with it that is going to be necessary to think about it, or which is perpetuating it. So there's this kind of like pull, which is part of that desiring in the ego to kind of do that. So and what I find is, to bring it back, there's a sort of tussle that goes on a bit, because it's sort of saying, no, this is important, we need to, you know, kind of, but you know that you're ruminating about something that is just suffering ultimately. You don't see it as an end product of suffering to kind of give your attention to those thoughts or feelings, because that's really what you're doing, you're engaging in suffering. But we don't really see that deeply enough to want and like, oh, I'm not going to go there, that's cheap, that's going to cause pain. So yeah.
And it doesn't matter if there's, you know, if attention goes to some thought or some emotion, and then you notice that attention has gone, and before you can bring it back, it's gone again. It's absolutely fine. It doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. Some thoughts are going to be just much more alluring, you know, than others. Some emotions seem to just demand a lot of attention, you know, as we did the other day in satsang, there's a lot of charge. It doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It just means that when you can bring it back, you do. That's the only thing. It doesn't matter if you sit for 20 minutes and you experience like 30 seconds of being aware of awareness, for example, and then for the rest of like 19 minutes, you're lost in some thoughts. That doesn't matter. As long as when you recognize, you know, and it might only be 30 seconds left, you go, oh, I was lost in thoughts all that time. You bring it back to the awareness. It doesn't matter how long that period is in between. It's just when you seem to have a choice, then you recognize, oh, I was off again. You bring it back. the very simple thing.
What about contemplating? Do I really need to be thinking? I would
stick with one of the practices for now. Get in a groove with that first.
Yeah.
And then we will, you know, if emotions come up and thoughts, next week we'll look into that a bit more, what to do when things, you know, triggers come up. But fundamental to everything else is getting this lesson one, you know, some practice in place. Very direct. Hopefully you can see it's very direct. We're not trying to change our experience at all. Yes, we may want our experience to change, but by focusing on what's real, it's going to begin to resolve itself anyway. You know, which is the same as contemplation in a way. We're just getting the fundamentals in place with this. You know, if some massively strong emotion comes up, you can begin to contemplate, but make sure you're getting your 20 minutes a day in where you're just noticing, tuning in, you know, at other times, you're tuning into the noumenon, the meditation. Yeah. Wonderful. Good question. Thank you. Does anyone else want to ask a question? It's unusual. Usually we've got loads of questions. Savitur or Videa?
Yeah, namaste, everyone.
Yeah,
again, just really been able to focus and just really hear everything you're saying and going through each one and the experience of it and observing the body really heating up again, which is really, really good. And then when we got to stillness, because I followed it all the way through, and then stillness, there was that real drop of stillness where it was, wow, you know, even deeper.
And you might notice the second time around that different ones, you know, pull you than did the first time. You might notice that there's different, the different ones that were your favorite just don't seem that appealing this time, or it might be the same one, you know.
Yeah, they all I could see all of them, and also the joy. There was such a, you know, as we were doing them all, the joy just got more and more, and more expansive. So, yeah,
wonderful.
It's really wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else like to ask? Joanne, yep.
Oh, God, what was I going to say? oh, yeah. You said we can't stop waking up. Once it started, you can't stop. And I'm pretty sure of this now after nearly 10 years. Why can't we stop?
Because you're not doing it. Because it's just happening.
Oh.
Yeah, if it was a doing, it could be slowed down, but there isn't a separate being, in fact, that could get in the way of the process. There is only energies that we've called. What ego really is the tendency to push against or to try to grab something. So those are just energies. It's not an actual thing. You know, it's a sense of someone. And because you are already the noumenon, when it wants to recognize itself, it will. Nothing in the world will get in the way of that. You know, it's just a question. Despite my best resistance, I managed to slow the process down, never managed to stop it. You know, I'm going to stop resisting it. It went an awful lot faster. Yeah.
What can I do to stop resisting it? Because I've been stuck in this place where I can't go backwards and I don't seem to be going much further forwards. I know I am when I look back. I can see there's been massive progress, but right now it feels quite slow.
Tuning into the noumenon every day will really, you'll start to speed up. You'll be like, oh my goodness, this is happening much faster. You know, so just, it seems too simple to be effective. Everyone's mind will be saying, well, I'm just listening to silence. What's that going to do? But it will have a profound effect on your awakening. because you cannot be tuning into the noumenon and resisting. You're either sustaining the egoic sense of self, looking at phenomena, or you're tuning into the noumenon and the ego is dissolving. There is nothing in the middle at all. So if we're asking what can we do to wake up, to speed it up, that very urge to do is what's slowing it down. We can just see. It's a seeing, isn't it? It's just a tuning in, a relaxing, recognizing what's real. And that'll just become more and more obvious, move to the forefront. The faster it gets, the faster it gets, and the more it speeds up. But putting attention, even for a little bit, on what's real, being able to do that consciously as well, more importantly, rather than, you know, just kind of having some moment where the truth seems to open up, but we might not know how we've done that. Once we, our attention is on what's real, the sense of having to have it speed up will disappear, because that which is real about you isn't in any process. It just is. And there isn't any time there. There isn't anywhere to get to there. So this that wants to have it happen faster, that's a kind of do energy that's going to start to dissolve as you take attention off it. It's natural, and we all have that same feeling. You know, when am I going to actually get there, type of thing. But as you relax into just being the noumenon, recognizing that, that's going to speed up anyway. It's going to, the epiphanies and the letting go is just going to be happening from the real place, which will be happening much faster. Rather than being someone trying to wake up, you'll just be watching the awakening happening more and more, become less and less more effortless.
There doesn't seem to be that sense of urgency anymore. It's just kind of like a very, I don't know, mundane feeling, you know, like everything feels very same-ish. Yeah. There's no ups or downs very much anymore.
So, did you get a sense of one of the list of the practices that you want to try?
Yeah, I made a note of quite a few, I think four actually.
Okay, good.
Listen for the silence, spend time being, notice the waking state, and be conscious of the consciousness.
Fantastic. Any one of those will really seem to accelerate you forward. Very, very powerful. Very direct. About the most direct you can get in terms of meditation. Just recognizing if your attention is either on that which is already awake, or it's going to be going to on the ego which is trying to get somewhere. The more your attention is on what's real, the less this trying to get somewhere is going to be energized, and it'll just fall away. When that falls away, all that's left is what you really are, which is just effortlessly already here and peaceful. So it's not like you're going to arrive somewhere, you're just going to realize I'm already that more and more. It's going to get clearer and clearer. And any sense that I'm not that is going to be diminishing, you know.
I've found that what's helped me is when my attention goes to something and it wants to get involved, and just remembering something like, well, this is a flipping dream, what am I worrying about that for? And bring myself back out of it, just like not getting involved with it. Was that something that helped me?
Yes, even more direct though is just to go back to the silence, you know, because even to put attention on a better thought is still a thought, still a phenomena. If you can just bring your attention back to silence. The silence is not thinking, and thought isn't being energized there. You know, it's already inherently not you in your essential nature, the silence, you're not thinking at all. So playing with thoughts gives us this sense of being someone that we really aren't, you know. So just to bring attention back to the silence, even more direct than what you said is good, but if you want it faster... Straight to the silence. But faster even as in now. I'm either being recognized in the silence, or I'm being someone trying to get somewhere. And there is no middle ground in this practice. It's either one or the other. I'm either looking at phenomena, or I'm looking at the noumenon. You know. Good, good. Okay. Good questions. Okay, Steve?
Hello, can you hear me all right?
I can, yeah.
I will listen to when you just said something about, you did mention that sometimes your ideas or your favourites change. And I was noticing difference. Now, the silence, it's an old favourite really, so I still like that one. But the who am I are sort of faded into the background. And one that last time I listened to you, I couldn't get my head around it at all. I didn't particularly like it, and that contextual field. And this time it really took me in. You know, I thought, I get it. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. So it's it does change you. But the other part, the question I'm going to ask you is, I don't do a lot of this anymore, but it's more of a contemplation on a question you've given me, or I'm talking for myself.
Yeah.
But it still takes me to that same place. But what's the slight difference? What is the difference?
Contemplation tends to work by, sometimes we can't recognize what's in the background of our experience because there's too much loud phenomena going on, too many thoughts, too many emotions. So contemplation, we're going to open up to all the phenomenal answers. And by opening and opening and accepting all the phenomenal answers, the noumen on the space, the field in which all that is happening just becomes obvious at some point. In the meditation, we're going straight to that field. You know, we're doing it sort of the other way around. And it's, you know, what suits one person, what suits another. But tuning in, recognizing is the most direct way. And then we can use contemplation when we don't seem to be able to do that. You know, when some emotion is just too loud, you know, which we'll look at next week, or something is going on, some strong desire or something, then we'll look at contemplation as a way to work with that. The most direct way is to, you know, tune into what's in the background, the silence, the contextual field, because the more attention is upon that, immediately in the very moment you listen to silence, you're no longer sustaining ego in that moment. Mm. Even looking at ego to say it should stop, it's not real, it should go away, we are infinitely powerful whether we realize it or not. So looking at thoughts and emotions, it is fueling the thought stream. Even looking at it, you know, wanting it to stop, we can't help. Mm-hmm. Only way out of that is to put attention back on what is real, you know, what is always here and what is fundamental about you. So different way around the same thing, but sometimes one, you know, the fundamental thing is to have a particular practice, you know, and if the contextual feel is your thing this time, have at it, you know, it's all good. Some people like to do that one with their eyes open more because, you know, I'm just noticing the space in which all of this is happening. Some people either love that one or they hate it. I'm always interested to see people's reaction to the contextual field. People either pull a face or go, ooh, you know, or
I didn't quite get it, but I understand that. I can say, oh, things in me, and it brings a spaciousness.
The room, that body,
everything,
this body, everything is appearing inside that invisibleness, isn't it? That field that is you,
which is what I am.
They're keeping attention on the field as much as you can.
Not on the content, yeah.
Notice it just drifts back to the content, to some thought or something like that. When you notice that's happened, you just bring it back to the field. The field isn't changing, isn't moving, it isn't shouting for attention. So you just have to kind of assert a little effort at first to bring attention back, you know, when you notice. Good, good. Lovely. Good stuff. Thank you. Abhideya? One of these days, it'll actually be Saboteur, and it'll surprise me.
it's so beautiful because the awareness is moving, and I can notice almost all of them instantaneously. So I'm hearing, there's a knowing, the sense of being, aware of the space, aware of awareness, all happening simultaneously. Almost at the same time. It's just, not thinking about it, but just
It just is. There's an isness about it, and the more and more as you tune in, the names, the words for it will just disappear, really. It's all the same, isn't it? It's all the same one being, noumenon, whether we call it that or awareness, it really doesn't matter. It's just what is.
So, recognition of the stillness, recognition now of silence, recognition of hearing. It just keeps recognizing all of it. It's great.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Enjoy. Nowhere to go.
Yeah, it just is here all the time. That becomes clearer, doesn't it? Here.
Here now.
All of very much. Yeah, very much now. Yeah.
Exciting.
Okay, we'll go to Daisy. I won't call you Dave. There we go. You're still muted, Daisy. Let me see if I can. There we go. You should be.
Oh, okay.
There we go. Yeah. I'm now we can hear.
Dealing with my husband's computer is a nightmare. I have been doing a lot of meditations, contemplations. It's been great, you know, going on walks and being aware of my surroundings. And it's been great. And I've been spending a lot of time also watching satsangs. But I guess what I'm worried about is what I do when I'm not doing this. I feel guilty when I start watching TV, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, well, I should be watching TV. I should be watching satsangs. But I mean, how many satsangs you can watch a day? You know?
And you get to a point where you've watched enough and you just can't take any more in, you know, you're just like...
I know, I tell myself, hey, I need a happy hour.
I'll let you into a little secret. Right when I started doing this, I was addicted to playing card games on my phone, right?
And oh, good to hear.
That and Netflix, and I was thinking, God, this is so unspiritual. This is just not, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing. But then I started to, as I was looking at my phone and playing the game, I began to notice the field around the phone, you know, and that I was aware of what I was seeing. Excuse me. Oh, there we go. And I began to use whatever was happening to notice the contextual field or, you know, the awareness. I thought, well, there's no reason that any particular activity is wrong. If I'm doing my 20 minutes, that's fine. And if I'm going to be watching Netflix, I can be looking at the screen, recognizing that I'm aware, there's awareness of what's happening on the screen. So you literally cannot get this wrong. You know, you can only hear what they're saying on the TV or the noise on the, you know, on the game because it's happening in the silence. So whatever you're doing, you know, we're just kind of letting go of this idea that there's... a certain amount you've got to do to recognize, you know, as we were saying with Joanne, it's just happening. Your awakening's just happening. So you can relax a little bit, you know, and just have some fun, have some time off. I was, and I think everyone I meet is just way too serious about this because we want it so much. You know, it comes with that sense of everything else is a waste of time, it felt like, you know, and I just want to be doing this all the time. But you do need some downtime, and there's nothing wrong with that. And the fact is, it's health, isn't it? You know, to enjoy yourself a little bit and just see, you know, just test yourself while you're watching TV or something, you know, or if you're doing something that's very, very unspiritual, you can just kind of, am I aware? Is awareness present while I'm doing this? And then you're doing the practice every now and again, you know, you're chopping vegetables for a meal. You can hear the chop, chop, chop because it's happening in the silence. There's a silence that is contrasting with. You know, so you can, there is nothing that you can't use in your life to kind of practice. You know, it's going to, if you're reading the news, you know, you can, some emotion arises from something you're reading on the news. You can notice that that's appearing in the field or there's a sense of stillness, you know, in which body is moving. All of that can be used. The only reason for the seated meditation practice is just because it's a little easier at first to do that, you know.
Another thing that I wonder is the quality of what I'm watching. So I kind of I think that if it is something that is just entertaining me, well, everything is entertaining. I watch those, you know, all kinds of movies or things, but I do have to confess, I love watching real life murders, not because it's something violent, you know, but it is because it's like I am very curious why people do this. I'm like, why did they kill? What led them to do it? I like seeing the faces of people that did it, why they did it, how they were caught, you know, all the forensics, the detective work. I find it fascinating. But then I wonder, is this putting me, is this lowering my vibration, my frequency? Is this bringing me to a lower frequency? So that's a concern, because sometimes afterwards I catch myself thinking about what I saw, although it's not something that bothers me. It's not something that I'm like, I don't know, I cannot be influenced, I guess, by those things. But, you know, it's a concern. What do you think?
It's whatever we're watching, you know, like when we watch a movie or something, we want to be like the hero in the movie, don't we? We automatically want to do that, you know, we identify with the characters in the movie and or whatever it is that we're watching. And you know, I remember watching some things when Joanne was saying, dreaming about it at night time, and like, okay, I think I've binge watched this thing a little bit too much. But any sort of frequency change is going to be overridden anyway by the noumenon. It's the most powerful energy field that there is, the silence. And that is even a few minutes of deep sleep on a nighttime is enough to power the whole waking state, 16 hours or whatever it is of our waking state, from a few moments of deep sleep. So it tells you how powerful that is. So it's going to override anything like that that's going on from what we're experiencing. You know, so a certain amount of it isn't going to do any damage, you know, and it's... any sort of frequency change is going to be overridden anyway by tuning into the silence. I used to be, you know, so much fear in my life. I used to be really scared of watching horror stuff and things like that. And for a period after I woke up, I just started watching all of that kind of stuff because I wasn't scared of it anymore. I could just watch it. And, you know, but there wasn't any effect then because, it's just, you know, it was only my sense of someone that was had an aversion to it, you know. So it kind of immunizes you against any of that anyway. You know, we're gonna feel a bit pulled up and down by things that we experience during the day, but as the practice deepens, you probably notice less and less impact. And there's really nothing wrong with having a curious mind. You know, you can eat when you notice yourself thinking about it, you can recognize that there's awareness of those thoughts. You can only see the thoughts because there's awareness. If there's anything at all that's happening, you know, you can use to bring attention back to the noumenon. You can only recognize phenomena because you're watching it and there's awareness of it. Yeah, so I wouldn't worry too much about it. If it ever gets to the point, which it won't do, but and if it gets to the point where you're avoiding doing any practice because of it, then obviously it's an issue. But you're way beyond the point. Everyone on this course is way beyond the point where they're going to get distracted out of doing the practice. You know, it's already a bit too late for that. So.
Great. Yeah. Thank you. I feel so.
Very welcome. Good questions.
Very good. Thank you.
Sharon?
You know, I wanted to just try to remember a couple of things I wanted to ask you.
We're muted somehow, Sharon. Hang on.
I was in a state of mind that was I was in fear, and it was weird because I couldn't I didn't know where my son was. He was in Florida and I'm in Pennsylvania, and I had heard that he was missing and I was in panic. And then all of a sudden my attention went to the noumenon, the space, and I was in peace. Mm-hmm. And I could be crying and then go to the space and be in peace. And I thought, that can't happen to someone like me. In other words, that I'm not good enough to really feel this. This am I imagining? No, this was real. And so, but I have been, I guess noumenon was waiting for me to meet you, because there was clarity right then and there that this person that's crying is just the character, but the noumenon is what everyone is. And then I came to a place where I realized that the noumenon is doing the hearing, the seeing, the everything. And we, as humans, like when I think her name was Davy, is it, you know, the last.
Dear,
but she said she was. I do that too. Like, I think, should I watch that? We shouldn't even have to. Why don't? In your book, it says no shoulds or shouldn'ts, but we don't even need to judge ourselves if we are doing anything, because everything's being done by the noumenon. Yeah. Right. So in this place that we are now, we are awakening, or so to speak, we already know what we are. So now it's just about the cobwebs that we have to just kind of. And what I found was the here-ness. The here-ness was very, very strong for me. Mm-hmm. I had an idea, though, when people are awake, they don't have a past or future. Is that true? Does the mind stop?
What, when the awakening's established, you mean?
When you're completely where you are, where, like, my mind will still go, like, to the past, future, you know, that kind of thing. It still moves.
Yeah, I can do that. I could probably think about the past, but it would take a lot of energy to kind of energize the mind, and it's more of a different way of functioning, that if I need to remember something about the past, that thought will just appear, that memory will just appear, rather than traditionally what happens to people is I'll feel like I'm remembering the past, I'm reminiscing, I'm, or, you know, sort of remembering what's going on. But there's just kind of empty awareness for me, and then something will pop up if it needs to. Like if I'm with someone, they say, oh, do you remember that, where we went that time, and, you know, a couple of years ago, and we did that thing. And I can't remember in the same way as what the ego does. The ego stores it all inside, searches through memory banks, and then it remembers that event based on what it meant. So instead, there's just a kind of waiting, and then some recall, something will just pop up inside about that event. You know, there's a kind of just a split second of waiting. And then kind of a memory is accessible, but it's not all stored in here. You know, there's just, it goes back to emptiness when it's not
right.
Needed.
It's just a different, yeah. And what I've noticed, what's also happening for me is I felt intuitively to look here, you know, in my chest. I don't know if you can see, but, you know, and by looking there and I'm seeing my husband, I see that he's coming from me. Like, it's almost like, you know, sometimes you think that the person's outside of you, but that's impossible because we're the noumenon. So just, I had asked you this a while ago, does it happen in your head or in your chest? And I was getting, it happens in both places, because it's all, I'm projecting my world. In other words, mm-hmm. This me as a noumenon is projecting you. Right now you're living inside of me. And I think that, you know, that Helen is my teacher and she's outside, but you're an image in me, right? So that's all.
Yeah, you're talking to yourself. And you always have been, all the time. I am you, you know.
Right.
But that gets clearer, doesn't it? That and we'll look at that in lesson 4 in more detail, you know, how to kind of really see that there isn't really anything here in the way we think there is. There is just the formlessness looking like all of these shapes, you know, all of these. There's nothing really outside of me. I mean, where does that here-ness stop? How far does it reach? If that's what you are, it goes on forever, doesn't it? There is no, there's nowhere where there is. It's always here, and it's always now, and it's very much, you can't get outside of that, wherever your body is.
So the more we plant ourselves in awareness, which is just natural now for me, the more ripe it'll get. In other words, it's just you marinate in it. And
yeah,
thank you. You've made this extremely simple for me. I needed that. Thank you so much.
Simple works for me.
Me too.
Lovely. Okay, well, we will leave it there for tonight. These recordings will be uploaded very shortly to the hidden page. The homework is just to tune in, pick one of the practices, two or three, or as many as you want, and give them a go. You'll have a favorite, you'll have some that you don't feel so, that are so appealing, and that's natural. But just get in touch with me via email if you need to. And that's dissolveanegocourse@gmail.com, and that will go directly to me for the next 28 days. I really am here to help you, and I really want you to get the most out of this course. And it will, sometimes during the 4 weeks, you may feel it's moving too fast. But I just have to remind you before we finish that you don't have to understand all of this to assimilate it. It's going to be happening anyway. Whether your mind understands this or not, it's working anyway. So hopefully that helps you relax. You cannot get this wrong at all, which is good news. It was good news for me. And then hopefully we can just relax and watch the unfolding happening during this next few weeks. Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you.